Hello, fellow lovers of all things green. I'm Mary Stone, and welcome to Garden Dilemmas, Delights, and Discoveries. It's not only about gardens, it's about nature's inspirations, about grasping the glories of the world around us, gathering what we learn from Mother Nature, and carrying these lessons into our garden of life. So let's jump in the spirit of learning from each other. We have lots to talk about. Hello there, it's Mary Stone on a, let's see, what would you call today? A chilly, cloudy spring day. Looking out on the yard from the screen porch, I see leaves emerging that look like little raindrops, golden on the trees. It's so lovely. I have a sad story to update you about the great horned owl, although the owl himself, or herself, I should say, is quite well. Her domicile was this tree that was standing dead and decayed, and it fell the other evening, and we discovered an egg that broke by the tree with a young owl in formation, so that poor thing is not going to make it. But we still hear the sounds of the great horned owl, so hopefully she finds a new abode. We spoke about great horned owl meets hawk in episode 116, I invite you to tune into. Anyway, I thank you for joining me, and I thank those who wrote back after last week's chat about castor beans and Jefferson's Monticello Lab for Plants. Linnea shared a quote attributed to Jefferson, "I may be an old man, but I am a young gardener." And I wrote back, "I love the Jefferson quote you shared. Indeed, gardeners are constantly learning and therefore remain forever young. Thank you for sharing the Garden of Eden story too. See that? Always learning. Happy gardening." Speaking of stories, I've got a delightful story from a writer friend about dandelion wine I look forward to sharing with you. But first, a story about the benefits of plantain and dandelion weeds. And I put weeds in parentheses. And you'll hear why. And it starts like this. Hello, fellow listeners and readers. Have you ever considered plantain, the flat-leaved weed with spiky seed heads that invade your lawn, a beneficial plant? It was news to me that plantain is a valuable herb, though I've known for years that dandelions should be considered welcome lawn guests. My associate installer, who advocates environmentally friendly practices using native plants, asked me to design an herb garden tucked away in the corner of a home in Princeton, New Jersey. In the garden design, a substantial urn takes center stage to an angled pattern of 2x2 foot blue stones, serving as a design element and function while tending to the plants. Espaliered pear trees are along one wall, and climbing roses adorn the other. When a roster of desired plants came, I was surprised that plantain, Plantago major, was on the client's wish list. But what makes a weed, also known as a misplaced plant, is a matter of opinion. Plantain, also known as a band-aid plant, offers first-aid remedies. And the trouble-free plant grows in all zones throughout the United States in full sun. You likely know by now my lawn philosophy is, if it's green, it's good. But a pool of dozens of plantains with their large flat leaves have overrun our lawn in areas filled with violets, sunny dandelions, and native white clover I adore, as do pollinators. The spiky thingies on plantain are the flowers, which aren't beautiful, and they often don't get cut by the mower, so after a fresh cut, the lawn looks messy, kind of like the waxy stems of dandelions. Though I adore their yellow flower faces decorating the yard, so I accept the spent stems as a minor inconvenience. Dandelions are full of nutrition, more so than kale and spinach, and the greens taste like arugula. Plus, they attract beneficial ladybugs, who feed on pests, such as aphids, mites, leafhoppers, scales, and mealybugs. So back to the plantain. Plantain leaves have an astringent quality if you bruise a leaf to bring out the juices and place it on a wound or soothe diaper rashes. Or you can chew or mash leaves between two rocks to make it into a lump to treat a bee sting or cut. In addition, they say plantain tea aids diarrhea and yeast infections and helps coughs. First, ensure the lawn is free from chemical herbicides, pesticides, or fertilizers. And if you can't find enough in your yard, you can buy plantain seeds online. Imagine that. I'm laughing because, boy, I have plenty of them in my yard. I can just send you some. At times, I take great pleasure in using the nifty screwdriver-like weed removal hand tool to pop up the suckers out of the ground, the only effective way to rid yourselves of plantain, as they readily grow back if a tidbit of a root remains. Plucking them out is kind of like removing blackheads. Maybe it's just me, but I find it rewarding somehow. So now, I'll think of it as a bountiful harvest. Garden dilemmas? AskMaryStone.com. Speaking of dandelions, I am so excited to share a story from Colleen, a writer friend who lives in Canada, the gal who corrected me on Canada geese rather than Canadian geese we spoke about in episode 151, Rockin' Alpine Gardens of Acceptance. So she wrote, "You encouraged listeners to share stories with you, so I am taking you up on the challenge. I am on one of my two-hour afternoon writing escapades where my computer and I share space together. But my mind goes on a trek of its own, often down memory lane. You mentioned that you get along with weeds quite well, except for the ones that are stealing nutrition from my beloved kitchen garden. I agree. In fact, I now live in a city that refuses to mow its grand expanses of lawn down the sides of its larger streets when dandelions are in bloom. At first, residents of our 30,000-strong community rolled their eyes in disbelief. But there were enough environmentalists and gardeners that entertained the idea with enthusiasm that it caught on very quickly. I cherish the many times I've witnessed happy children blowing dandelion fluff, foretelling the future, or making chains from their milky stems. What a wonderful growing up experience." I'm taking a pause here because I have such a memory of my mom blowing the seeds defiantly because she loved dandelions too. Colleen continued with her story. "As a child of 10, my brother, 5 years my senior, decided that those yellow-headed weeds should be put to good use. I have no idea where he got the plan, living in our teetotaling, alcohol-free family, but he decided to make dandelion wine. I expect that he got some kind of recipe, or at least a general guideline, from his creative school friends who, on occasion, would visit our 100-acre dairy farm and would stop at very little and having a good time on its expanses, as opposed to their small-town, claustrophobic atmosphere. One Saturday, when both parents were away, the possibilities became more than my brother could handle, and out came the paraphernalia for making his treasured scheme. After the blooms were gathered and deposited in the bottom of a no-longer-used milk pail, he added warmed water, then eagerly poured in a generous amount of sugar and bread yeast. He then reverently covered the whole thing with two tea towels and left them to ferment. Our farmhouse was a huge split-stone affair whose size boasted that the upstairs was never used. Around the upstairs was an attic, under the eaves. It was here that the precious mixture was deposited for its time to cure. In my brother's imagination, no one would ever guess that it was there, as I was threatened into absolute silence regarding the whole affair, and I must admit, I joyously went along for the ride. Through the few weeks, the spring weather got warmer, the cows went out to pasture, and leaves burst from the poplars that lined our farm laneway. And the dandelions, well, they opened into tufts and fluff and hitchhiked on the wind, and the mixture in the attic bubbled silently on. The next time our parents were away on a Saturday meant that the dandelion wine could be, and therefore would be, bottled. Bottles were not in short supply, as my mother was well known for her homemade tomato juice and bottling it. So the empty bottles were cleaned, and the precious liquid funneled into them. Then they were corked with used corks that the friends had somehow come upon. I never asked how or where. The filled glass bottle sparkled with a product beautifully yellow and clear. My brother's grin was from ear to ear. What a success! The treasures were hidden in the attic, and no telltale remnants left for discovery. Spring left for summer, and hot days crept in. Our family always had early supper, so milking could be done later. One day, halfway through the chicken dumplings, an incredible bang reverberated through the house. It sounded as if it came from the attic. My mother hesitated, looked at my father, shook her head, and then matter-of-factly stated, "Darn bats!" My father calmly shook his head in agreement and reached for more dumplings, but I could swear I could see a twinkle in his eye. Before supper was over, two more explosions rocked the stability of the meal, and my mind went wild with expectations of the state of affairs in the attic. But I was never to find out. While the rest of the family went to the barn for milking, my father sent my brother to see the bat. That's so funny. And I have to say, this story, I just can feel being on the farm, and my mom lived on a farm, a dairy farm as well. Never take a learning experience from a kid when there's no real harm done or no formidable danger in existence. Wonderful stories are made of them, and wonderful stories are shared. Thank you, Colleen, for sharing yours. It really was such a delightful story, and I just love the way you write. And thank you, my faithful listeners, for visiting with me on the screen porch, and I hope I get more stories. Wasn't that just so fun to listen to? I can't thank Colleen enough for sharing it, and I can't thank you enough for sharing our time together each week. I look forward to the next time. Have a great day. You can follow Garden Dilemmas on Facebook or online at gardendilemmas.com and on Instagram at #MaryElaineStone. Garden Dilemmas, Delights, and Discoveries is produced by Alex Bartling. Thanks for coming by. I look forward to chatting again from my screen porch. And always remember to embrace the unexpected in this garden of life. Have a great day.